I'm on the road to recovery, step by step. There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own beyond my ears. I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Yeah!
'Cause I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Yes. Woo. Good evening. Wow, that sounds big. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God speaker step series. Let's have our joke.
Yes, an AA joke. This is from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from AA Grapevines. My name is Trey, and I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hey, Trey.
This is called Reject It Again. I was at a party with sober friends when I met this attractive woman who seemed interested in me, so I asked her out. She politely shrugged and said, "No thanks," which really surprised me. I asked, "Why? Is it my age?" She replied, "No, age doesn't matter." "Well then," I asked, "is it my religion?" She said, "No, religion doesn't matter either." Bewildered, I asked, "I don't get it. Is it because you're married?" She replied, "No, I'm single." I was totally perplexed. So I said, "I'm confused. Why won't you go out with me? Is it because I'm sober?" "No," she said, "it's because I'm sober."
I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Marion. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our 2-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise that might or will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step series tonight. Is everybody ready? If so, let's start the meditation.
Misericordia,
So if you would like to join me in the fog light prayer, it's right here on the screen. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Thank you. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I have asked Peter M. to read A Spiritual Experience.
Okay, the term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, his conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change of feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance and belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. And it says, there is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, which cannot keep fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt, pride, investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Thank you, Peter. Okay. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane meeting mode, please, or just turn it off. And once again, we're just so blessed to have this beautiful woman, Paulette, to come and share with us tonight, a woman who carries a message of depth and weight and absolutely speaks the language of the heart. So let's welcome Paulette.
Thank you. My sister and friend said to me, Paulette, you dress down for step five. Because you come to work. I like that. I'm going to keep it. Thank you, Marianne. It's nice when people pray with you. It doubles, and it hits the heart. Thank you. And thank you for sharing the time with your sister. Thank you. I am an alcoholic. And I am a member of the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous located in Miramar. My home group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. I am sponsored and I sponsor. To me, that's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995. And my name is Paulette. Hello, fellow travelers. It's so nice to be with you guys. Marianne and I was talking about this tonight, about how nice it is to be with each other. A sense of belonging. That's what it's about, at least for me. So I'm going to start because we're going to be on the fifth step. And there's chucks full of goodies to do with this step. You got to live it, eh? And take it off the shades and put it into practical use. So I don't want to waste our valuable time because this means so much to me. Every time I am granted this gift of service, it puts me to work. And at first, I don't want to do it. Don't get me wrong. Every time Mike Chase calls me, I'm sure Peter feels the same way too, and Marianne. It's like, Jesus. Because we know what it takes. You know, you can't phone it in. To thine own self be true, and this is a life and death prospect. You know, if I don't do this, it can cost my very life, and somebody else is in the way. And I am responsible today. When anyone, anywhere reaches out, I will always want to know the hand of AA is there. And for that, I am responsible. So I take this very seriously, even though I wear it lightly and loosely. Those of you who hang out with me know I can cut up a lot, but I'm serious about this. It is a way of life that I am so grateful for it. I was told to look at the clock. James still gave me instructions. I'll try my very best. My set-aside prayer that I say before I get into speaking my truth. Set-aside prayer that Dorothy Harris handed me before she left this earth. Physically left this hurt. She's always with me. All my sponsors have been with me ever since I entered AA. Even though they're not physically with me, there are things that I do that are of my sponsors. Dear God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself. This book, my disease, these steps, and especially about you, dear God, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to see the truth. And this is especially important tonight because step five is about seeing the truth. It's about truth. And if you're an alcoholic like I am, and I suspect you are, truth is not a thing that we identify with or easily identify. At least I don't. Took me a very long time to understand that there are not necessarily the truth. I can have shades of it, but coming in and getting busy and continuous work have allowed me to seek the truth more often than I want to because it does set me free. That is no joke. It's not a bumper sticker. As you know by now, I am talking about God, and it's God as I understand God. And that's the God that I have today after I got through the third step and start to practice the third step every day. Because an alcoholic like me that is 150% self-centered cannot be turned around God-centered in one day. So I do this every day. I want to talk to you about, I want to go back to, let me do my, you guys didn't put up the step, eh? Don't be sorry, just taking your inventory. That's our. Oh, it is. Oh. Thank you, James. Your faithful and humble servant. Step 5, because you know I have to read it. I got out my 12 and 12 because I was going to read it. I never attempt a step without reading it first. I am not that, I'm not cured and I'm not that well. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Quite a mouthful, isn't it? Oh, my God. But what a wonderful thing. It's painful stuff, but it's good stuff. Okay, here we go. I'm going to go back a little first. Because you know how I, most of you know, I like to pick apart the steps because that's how it helps me. And what I am sharing, guys, is my experience, strength, and hope of how working the steps, gaining the benefits of the principle that comes out of the steps, and putting it into practice. That's what it does for me. So I have to take it off, process it, see how it fits me, and step out in faith. Faith that I developed a little bit at a time, and it all started with that step 3. This is another reason why the steps are in order. You cannot work the steps cafeteria style. It has to be worked in order because doing the each steps, you have to go back and pick up things that you worked in the other previous steps that helps you to move forward. You got to break it apart in that, oh, for example, step 5 is talking about admitting to God, to ourselves. So I'm admitting what? What I found about me in my first inventory. I had never thought that I should ever write anything about me because I was so afraid that somebody was going to find it and blackmail me. Because I had a very extensive 4-step inventory. Even though the first one was, I thought, well, I left off a lot of things because I didn't remember. That's okay. Because they always said, just start. You know, as you continue to grow, you will do more of your inventory, but you have to start. You know, but even so, I was walking around my apartment praying that Ed wouldn't see where my 4-step is hidden. All that paranoia and delusion that Dr. Stiltwort talks about, and it's in More About Alcoholism, that was to show me how much I really had something mentally, my mind disturbed. And so, but as I kept coming, it's not a problem because I can stand up here and I can tell you certain things about me and I'm free. It's practice. So I'm going to start with, I want to recap because it's so important, eh? To get into it. Now, I want to tell you this. Step 5 for me was very subtle. It really was. It doesn't seem that quite intrusive. It's like, oh yeah, I found these things about myself and I can, I always talk to God. There was something that I had been restored to me after I started working with a sponsor. And it's very important for me to tell you this because I had a male sponsor when I first came in until he died. It's not recommended for everyone, but God sent this man specifically for me. Self-centered, selfish, selfish. But I think that's what God did for me. Because he was dying. He had 9 months to live. Literally dying. And he couldn't see. He had lost his sight. And he was dying from full-blown AIDS. And at the time, there was no cure for it, no medication, nothing. Not like it is today. So how blessed was I to have somebody whose God was going to take home in 9 months to share all my crap with? Let's be real. He was going home with it. So get busy, Paulette, you know, seriously. I've said, and you know, he told me this. He pointed it out because I was too far gone to realize what a gift. And he said, I'm dying. Because he was good with it. That's how powerful his God was. He was good with it. I saw how people lived knowing that there any day I'm going home and was living. Early sobriety taught me that. So for my step five to share with somebody who said, get busy, I'm going in 9 months. What a gift. So I got busy. And so I had an extensive fourth step inventory of my resentments, of my fears. My fears were enormous. I did not understand how a little body at the time, believe it or not, I was a size 6. I know. I can just see the wheels turning. Because I only had liquid lunch and dinner. Nothing nutritional. By the time I got to AA, I was a size 6 and I didn't look so good. Because that's what physically my alcohol tore away my body. And I told myself, when I looked myself in the mirror, I said, I just looked wonderful. And I'm talking about the distortion. It's important for this step to understand the mental faculties. When you find out the things about yourself in the inventory taking, because the distortion that I used to, are my perception of people and things and situations, the inventory brought out it. I don't see things right. So I go back to step two, and step two says, if I have a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. Sanity is soundness of mind, the ability to think straight. At this juncture, I can't think straight because I have been practicing insanity for a very long time, which means the inability to see the truth. I don't know about you. Why was my resentment list so long? What is resentment according to Bill? It's wrong judgment. I always made wrong judgment of what I perceive you were doing to me. I use you as a scapegoat so that I can cast blame away from me. So I won't be able to look like I did anything wrong. All this time, it was why was so dishonest? Well, if you had a dad like mine, that's how I started my fourth step on resentment. And what he did to me, I wrote in the second column. And then how it affected my natural instincts to survive as a healthy human being. And by the time I got down to causes and condition, which the book tells us, what happened is I realized that I had a big part in that. Because there is a column in the fourth step that says, and I always says, and this is what it says, the exact nature of our wrongs. It's not talking about defects of character. I lied, I cheat, I manipulate. My favorite form of defect is silent scorn. I loved it, I wallowed in it. Oh, I would run my household on it. It was the week of not speaking to anyone. They would call me by name. And I would, my son and my husband and I would just look at them. How dare you echo my name? I am so pissed at you, I can't speak. And I would go around my house like this for a whole week and feel good that I have gotten their attention. Don't you ever do that to me again. This will show you. When I wrote these things out, I saw how I harmed the two men in my life that have loved me unconditionally. And I reveled in harming them. Something's got to be wrong with you. That you want to hurt the people that love you most. But this is my alcoholism manifesting itself in these behaviors. I went to see my father every Saturday morning because my mother forced us to do it. And my resentment against my mother was she forced me to go see the man that left us to die. So I'm going to show her. So I stole every bit of money that they had laying around the house. That'll show you, you won't want me to come back again. So I became a thief, trying to prove to my mother that she was wrong to send me to go visit a father who left me to die. I became a thief, but my distorted mind and thinking manifested itself in the action of becoming a thief. I'm stealing. Told me I had the perfect right to do it. Because he hurt me. And because my mother is too weak to take steps to do something, retaliation. She took the spiritual way. And to me, the spiritual way is a weak way. You understand my thinking now? You see how I balance the books? No wonder I came up in the red. This is how I balance my leisure, right? So there's something that Dr. Young, who's a wonderful, wonderful friend of AA, that wrote something that I read recently that reminded me of it. And he says, I think it's on 27, if I'm not mistaken. I don't memorize pages, but some of them I do. Because it means so much to me. There is a solution in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in 27. It's Carl Jung wrote about this. He's one of the friends of AA that helped us tremendously. And he says, he's talking to another one of us, a chronic one, eh? And you know how we are, it's totally out of clue. We have no clue that we are that sick. You know, no clue. And because you couldn't tell me I was sick. I had everything going on. Yet I just came out of the psychiatric hospital. He said, yes, replied the doctor. This is Dr. Young. Is there no exception? He's talking about us. Because we're trying to find a way out than doing this. You're always looking for a shortcut. And he says, yes, replied the doctor. In my mind, I said, no shit, Skippy. Really? There is. Then he says, the exception to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what we call vital spiritual experiences. Life. Life, vital, in the spirit. You can't buy this. Experiences. He says, to me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of, and here is it, huge emotional displacements and rearrangement. This is talking about two turning into five because I'm finding out that my emotions used to run my life. If I was angry, I'm going to act on that anger. And then I'm going to harm you. So it's like it's a snowball effect. Everything I did was emotionally driven. I was burning up every day. No wonder I was discontented, ill at ease all the time. Because this is what he's saying. He says, now when I do this, it's going to make it, he's going to rearrange. So I respond emotionally to anything you say or do in the proper way. Which means you can say some stuff about me, and I will just look at you and say, thank you for sharing. I think I'll pass. I'm not taking the bait. Because I know who I am. Because I did an honest four-step inventory. I'm not wrapped tightly. So I'm not going into no argument with you. Because I know if I do, I have just gave up my freedom, my peace of mind, my ability to think straight. Sanity is the ability to see the truth. It's a big deal in this for me. And so he says, here it is. He says, ideas. Huh, I do have ideas, good ones. Emotions and attitudes are all going to change if I follow what this says step by step. I will change. It's talking about change from, even though my fourth step was from the outside is now going to change the inside. Because I am identifying the things that blocked me from my Father of light, the sunlight of the Spirit. That's what I've been blocking me. So no wonder I responded like a little two-year-old, having temper tantrums, silent scorn, trying to will people like it's mind control. When I can't even stop drinking in the beginning until I got here. And he says, this ideas and emotions and attitude was once my guiding force. This is what I ran on. It's what I lived on. It's how I ran my life. I get an idea, an emotion follows, action later. And when you turn around, it's what this Bill says, instincts on collision. This is how I said you stepped on people's toe and they retaliate. And I said, I didn't do anything to you. I can't even remember doing anything to you. But when I put it on paper, I realized I did 6 things. And I didn't even remember I did the 6 things to you. But you were keeping tabs. That's how I tell myself. And so in fifth step, he's saying, think about this. Ideas, emotions, and attitude, which were once the guiding forces of my life, are suddenly cast aside. That's a promise. What happens? A completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate me. That's why I can tell you, when somebody wants to fight with me, I can say to them today, thank you, I think I'll pass. Because now I'm having a new set of conception. 5 is talking about way back on 27, started setting me up, and I didn't know. That's why I said step 5 is subtle, because it was setting me up way back when. And then it says here, he was trying to do this emotional rearrangement within that chronic alcoholic. How many times have their family friends tried to help us, to get us to respond emotionally? Never happened, right? And he says, but with many individuals, here is the hope. The methods which I employed are successful. But I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description until we got here and start to see what this is offering us. So I wanted to share, when I read that again, how meaningful it was. So here we are in step 5. We're talking about looking at the exact nature. But you got to remember, you have columns, and don't get caught up on the columns. The columns is to organize our thoughts. Please, do not get the ruler and the pencil to make sure the line is straight. To hell with the straight line, just get the stuff done. Because that's what we do to avoid the painful past. I've done it, and my sponsor said, stop it. Just get it ordered, because we are not disciplined. We are disorganized. And so what happened is, if we're going to have to pull from memory the things we have done, resentment equals wrong judgment. Fears equal wrong believing. Wrong actions harms to others. If I'm going to collect all of the data, and remember, I am the crime scene. I have to go in to find out what I had done, because I am doing one of those forensic inventory. I need to have it organized so I don't miss anything. Because five tells me if I miss things deliberately, I am going to be in trouble. Because it will catch up with me. And so one of the things that happens in five, it tells me, so I list my resentment. The first one, first column from top to bottom, Paulette. Second column, top to bottom, what caused the resentment? You will remember what caused it if it happened 40 years ago. Because you're an alcoholic like me. You let go nothing. Even if it isn't true. Which most of it wasn't true. Because when I put it down on paper, I found out that half of my resentment was a lie. It was a distortion of my perception. How I look at things. I couldn't see straight. And so this is what he's saying. But I can't do anything about column one, and I can't do anything about column two. So he says, here's what you do. Go back and look at what Bill says here in step four, the first paragraph he gives me. He says, creation gave me instincts on a purpose, which means without them, I wouldn't be a complete person or human being. This is four, he's saying this. He says, if I didn't exert myself, work, action, I wouldn't be insecure in who I am. But what happens? If when I got these instincts to reproduce for companionship, social instincts for my desires for sex relations. By the way, if you think you don't have a sex problem, you don't want to do the inventory, you have. For emotional security and companionship, because what I found out was that in my sex inventory, ladies and gentlemen, fellow travelers, is that my exact nature of wrongs spilled over in all other areas of my life. And I didn't know where the root cause was coming from. So if I was dishonest because I was cold in and I withheld my emotions, or my relationship with my husband because I want to be revengeful, that way of dealing with somebody emotions. People used to say playing with people's emotions. I was good at withholding my affection. That's harm. Sometimes it can be spiritual harms. Those are things that I found out doing my sex inventory that was spilling over in all other areas. No wonder I suck at relationships, because these were things that were barriers. So I had to go back to the past to grab the reason for this. Very helpful for me. Because I knew, because when you withhold something from someone deliberately, that's harm for me. And so he says, all of these things are surely God-given. So if God gave me these things, This is why the third column, which have all of my instincts, my natural desire, material, my ambition, all of these cannot be fixed by me. It has to be fixed by the power that gave it to me in the first place. So the third column belongs to the God of my own understanding. Dear God, please, every morning I ask him to tweak it for me. Chip away at all the rough edges. Help me to go through difficult moments, because he's not going to take away the difficult moment, because I'm the one that ran it amok. Far exceeds its purpose and function. So only the power who gave it to me can fix it. But what happens is there's a part for me, and the part that he's talking about the exact nature of my wrongs, my faults, my mistakes, my defects, my shortcomings. Those are the exact nature of my wrongs. And what comes out of that column? Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Was I self-seeking or frightened? Was I inconsiderate? These are the things that I operated on, but I just didn't have the name for them. That's the root cause of all of my resentments and fear and the harms done to others, also throughout my sex life. I was either being selfish, dishonest, frightened. Fear kept me from achieving quite a lot of things I could have, because I told myself that I couldn't do it, and then I come up with the rationalization and the justification. So I had to put that down. So here he is telling me this. So he says to me, this is what Bill says to me. He says, once I realized that I have, especially fear. I had a lot of fears. Like, if you're like me, a lot of fears. What happened is that these fears, they were coming in degrees. In degrees. I may not have it 100%, but I have 50%, and left untreated, it starts to grow. In 10, I think it's 10 in the big book, Bill talks about fear as being an evil corroding thread. You understand what that means? It means something is rotting and it's just dissolving into nothingness. This is how fear shots through me in all areas of my life. There's always a fear lurking. And so he says, you got to remember what it does for you, Paulette. It weakens you. You're gradually brought down to a level where you absolutely can become paralyzed. We talk about procrastination and sloth, paralyzing fear. You know, financial. Oh my God, I told you all about it. Most of you know, when I got sober, I owed American Express. And my lovely husband, may he rest in peace, boxed up all of my unpaid bills to American Express. And I'm coming home happy from a meeting, feeling joyous, happy, and free. And what I came home to was, in the middle of our apartment living room, was this nice carton box. And I'm thinking, somebody sent me a gift. They did send me a gift. Unopened, unpaid bills from American Express, and my husband said he would never pay it. So here you go. Talk about a resentment. I think he made my resentment list 3 times that week. And what happened was I had to go through it, and it was where I was working the program. So I had opened that bill, box after box. All of this damage, selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, frightened to open a bill. Have you ever been frightened to open a bill? Dear God, I'm holding it up to the light. Jesus, maybe I can peek and see something good. Fear. because I had committed something dishonest. So I tell you, all of these experiences had to put it down because I don't want to live like that. Because Third Steps told me that if I turn my will, and which is my thinking, and if I turn that over, that thinking, into the hands of the Creator that I call God, with that process, my life will be locked in place. Which means that every action that comes out of it is God directed. So I'm safe. I'm protected. I will be guided. But I have to have the faith that every time I do this, it will happen. So as I'm going through five, I know I have to keep thinking of three, what it promises me. And so what happened is when I get there, it is what happens for me now is when I review all of these things, he says, what I need to do now is find some people. One of them is the God of my understanding. First, I always talk to God, even when I didn't give God the respect God due. Because the book talks about deep down in every man and woman is the idea of God. It may be obscured by circumstances, calamity, chaos, I call it. But everybody has some idea of God inside of them. Step five is where that God, you start to pull out the dust and rub it like a genie lamp. You know, a little bit at a time. Every day you get up, you start shining that lamp. That's how I look at it in the beginning. Well, that part, God, I always talk to. Now, I didn't know the difference between talking to God or giving God a demand, you know, like a little child. But in five, I'm learning now. I'm going to admit. You know what admit is? I have come face to face with the termites that was rotting my soul. And now I got to tell somebody. And how merciful and kind this step is. It says, go to your father first. Tell your father first. That's who you talk to first. Who but a loving parent will guide you and give you the care, special attention that you need when you're so vulnerable and open? When you're telling somebody all of these dirty, nasty things that you think you're the worst human being on planet Earth. Who better to go to first but your loving father that will nurse you and calm you down and keep you safe and you feel you're wrapped in his arms? That's why it's God first. And then he says another human being. What the hell? Now I got to practice what the book talks about is humility. And it's a nourishing ingredient that silently runs all through these steps. It's subtle. Because it knows who I am. But what am I about to become or want to become? I have this sincere desire to become. Is a changed human being that is in the likeness and the image of my Creator. That's my desire when I'm disclosing my insides to you. But he says here, he gave us a warning. You can't tell your fifth step to any and anybody. Some people are sicker than others. They will judge you. They can cause you harm. And they said it clearly. Bill gives a list of who you should tell. He said, but if you have to share it. You can't keep it because it can kill you when you discover all these nasty, dirty things that was inside of you. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I think I might be running over a little bit, but Mike Chase ain't here, so he could write me a letter afterwards. In the pandemic, and I've talked about this, most of you who have listened to me share about disclosing things that will kill me. This is one of my favorite because it happens to me in COVID. This is how important doing the steps is for me. On a daily basis, practicing it. I did something. I got up in COVID. I got a resentment at COVID. That's how sick I am. A pandemic. Why are you getting resentment? Can you control it? It's powerless. This is the mind. And it's COVID. I'm pissed at COVID. Here's why I'm pissed at COVID. It took me from having this. See, I was raised on this. And if you're selfish and self-centered like I am, because I'm not cured, I want this all the time, whenever I want it. How dare you come to take this away from me? And I said these things to myself without fanfare, no drama, just quietly said it. I said, I don't go into no damn Zoom meetings. Screw them. This is what I'm telling myself. And what happened was, thank God for my home group. My home group went straight to Zoom when COVID started and we're under lockdown. Now, because I was raised well in AA, you always go to your home group no matter what. So I was forced to make Zoom meetings with my home group. One meeting a week. One meeting a week was my home group. I've never drank one day in all my drinking career. Never had one drink in all my drinking career. My sponsor said, chase your recovery the same way you chased your drink. And I had practiced it until COVID hit. One meeting, but I kept up with my sponsees on the phone. So all my connections is on the phone and the one meeting on Zoom. I had a resentment and I didn't even know it was brewing. And here is how I tell you it's dangerous what we have. Nothing was going on that day. The sky was blue. Beautiful South Florida weather. If I wasn't a good professional, I would have called out sick from work and go to the beach. Lied about it too. Probably would have said I'm sick. And I'm telling you, nothing unusual was happening in my life. So I thought. I was nursing a resentment. And an opportunity came my way to put that resentment in action. And I had no defense against it. Because I was not connected. And what happened was, I caught myself engaging in a dishonest act. And immediately the flag goes up. And I was like, Jesus, I can't believe I just did this shit. I'm trying to clean up my language. My sponsor cannot come out. You can't talk about this to somebody that, unless it's face to face. And I couldn't do it. I said, no, I can't go to bed on this. My home group is in St. Bartholomew Church on Miramar Parkway. I've been going there since 2006. And I go to, and I said, somehow, the God of my understanding, this is what this is about, reminded me of the practice of the steps. You have to share this with another human because you already know. I told God because I found out. I said, immediately. You can't sleep. There's no peace of mind. All my peace is gone. All my confidence is gone. All my self-esteem is being eroded moment at a time. I said, oh, I got to get somebody to talk to. So short, let me cut it short. Which I now believe is the God of my understanding, says, call St. Bartholomew Church because priests listen to alcoholics. And I called. Immediately somebody answered. No delay, because delay is deadly. And by the time I told this person I want to see the father there or the priest, I had an appointment for the next day. Just as fast as I'm telling you, my alcoholism says, don't go so quickly. But the practices of this program and the God of my understanding immediately told me, go. I went to St. Bartholomew Church the next day, and I went to see Father Andrew. Father Andrew is a short, and I'm not exaggerating. He catches me at my hips. So I'm looking down on him. And he takes me into what I call the area to confession. And he said, what can I do for you, Paulette? And I said, I have to talk to you about a fifth step I need to do. And I have everything written out because I've been practicing doing this for a very long time. And I'm talking. So I have my whole thing written out. So I'm going to tell him about it because I want freedom. And I'm talking to Father Andrew. And Father Andrew, I finished about the first paragraph, because you write a lot when you're an alcoholic like me. And he says, he cuts me off and he starts telling me how he lied about his mother, who is in a nursing home, and you can't go to visit now because it's COVID. And he said, I lied because I need to see my mother. And I'm saying to myself, this is my fifth step. He cut me off. I'm copping a resentment. He not hearing my fifth step. He didn't want to hear nothing because he knew. You're a human being. You want to do better. It's not an overnight matter. And he says this to me, 5 pages of forgiveness prayer. He gave me, sent me home, and said, start doing this for 30 days, every bit of it. He didn't even hear the whole thing. So I go home. I said, I got to tell my sponsor about this damn priest. He's not happy. Not thinking of that, I have shared enough. It was the willingness to recognize that I was going off the beaten path and straying from the God path. And I can't afford it. Fifth step gives me that ability. And on top of it all, God of my understanding makes Father Andrew a Jamaican. How cool is my God? Way, way cool. So Smith says, if I can find out where I am inconsiderate, when I look across all of that, I realize that those are the exact nature. Where I am dishonest, it's not about being a thief. It's not about being a liar. What causes me to lie? What causes me to be dishonest all the time? What causes me to be so frightened all the time? What causes me to lack consideration for other people that I end up hurting them all the time, even when I didn't plan to? This is what 5 says, look at your inventory. And when you identify it, you know you're in that space. What you gonna do about it? Because you can't live with what you find out now. There's no going back. This is why the book says go home. Take the book down. Sit on it. Check to see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Have you missed anything? Which stone have you left unturned? And so this is, or you cheated yourself. This is a program that allows you not to cheat yourself only if you want to. And it never allowed me to. And so I am going to end before I get a text from Mike Chase. I'm going to tell you about one of the things I like to end with 5. The benefits of doing step 5. I can't do it without ending with it. He says, I will be rid of the terrible sense of isolation. I have a disease that isolates me from you, even when I don't want to. And it says that means anxiety and depression is part of that isolation. He says now it's the beginning of kinship with God, as I understand God, and you. Now, because those things about me, I'm not acting on them as often, so I can open myself up. And he says, what vital life I get from this life, vital freedoms. Freedoms. from the tormenting ghost of my past. It's why you can't tell me anything about me that I don't already know. Because I know. And then, I used to say, I'm feeling myself. And then he says, what I will be doing is, and this is what Father Andrew gave me, I will begin to obtain a feeling that I can be forgiven. What a blessing. What a blessing that I start to feel that I can be forgiven. And then by confiding my worst defects or flaws to another human being, I have once starting to gain degrees of humility, that nourishing ingredient that I had thought was only for suckers, I now start to get. In degree, thank God, because you know I'm a disease, the more disease. He says what I will do is that I will start to be practicing this to freedom. He says, I am on a road to straight thinking. Sanity is returning. My God, I can think straight. I don't know about you, but that was a big deal for me. And then he says, my ego will be deflated a lot. Because I know who I am. How dare I judge you? And he says, I will stop taking the God of my understanding and treating God like he's a pinch hitter in a baseball game. What I now will be using God in his right way. The right way. I will absolutely be able to have serenity and humility in degrees. Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you. I love you.
Oh my God. Ooh, let's give Paulette another hand. Wow. Wow. So I'd like to introduce our secretary report. It's Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
In keeping with the Senate commission, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, baskets are now going around.
Oh, my God.
I'll put QR codes on the backs of the chairs if you'd rather get through bed. You can do it that way. I've asked Carla to read the recovery statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. So let's welcome up Carla.
Good evening, everyone. My name's Carla, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Carla.
Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body, page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Nice. Thank you, Carla. 1940-style big book sponsorship from the foreword to the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back into his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Does anybody need a sponsor? If you could raise your hand. Awesome. If anybody's too shy, just come stand up here awkwardly after the meeting, and someone will come talk to you. Can the recovered alcoholics raise your hand? Awesome. If your hand's not up, then the people whose hands are up, you should be talking to them. And we have a couple announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our where and when and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get out to AA meetings, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedule at the 12-step house. Is anybody here part of BCIC? Awesome. If you have any questions, Kelly over here could answer some of those for you. Also, we have some volunteer opportunities coming up. There's also flyers on all of this in the back on the piano. And next, we have Paulette next week, sixth session. It's been amazing so far, so definitely come check that out. And then Monday nights in the same room, 7:15, we have our big book study here. We're on working with others right now, and it's been amazing, so definitely come check that out as well. All right. We have CDs, mugs, large print big books, little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale on the piano in the back. If you're interested in any of that, just see any home group member after the meeting. And we meet every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. Also, if you smoke, please just go 75 feet away from the doors before you vape or smoke, because the Boy Scouts are here and they're trying to quit. So if we could just respect that, that'd be great. All right? Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you very well being. So those who wish to thank our speaker tonight, just line up down the middle aisle. That would be awesome. Let's just, seated, we're going to join each other in the Lord's Prayer. Whose Father?
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Yes.
Thirsty bodies aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah. And I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah. The only thing that I can do is I'm praying, 'cause on my own I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. Load is heavy, too much to kill me. Yeah. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all.
zan, zan, zan. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing, when you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Shine a light. so love, shine your light on me tonight. As everything's feet has fallen, so go and I work these hands right down to the bone. So low. Just wanna set me free. Well, clap your hands if you believe me, tell.